Happens as we read the book of Ephesians is we see two things. We see a vision of what the church could be. There's this kind of gold standard in front of us that Ephesians gives us. And sometimes when we read it, we think, oh crikey, we're quite a long way off that. And then there's other ways in which Ephesians is presenting to us nothing less than the church as it is, that God sees us. And just as we speak here today and we look at this passage again, I want us to hold that intention. There is a now and a not yet about this. But I'd like you to imagine with me for a moment an interconnected group of people who entrust themselves to one another. Community where you can speak about your pain honestly and safely. And somebody will respond with compassion, thoughtfulness, and prayer with no trite or cliched responses. Somebody might be able to tell that you're discouraged, and they won't respond with a pep talk or a muffled promise to say a prayer for you. A place where you can confide with someone in a struggle you're having with sin, and they will pray for you, offer hope, stick with you all the way until the sin no longer seems to have the upper hand. A place where people bear your burdens and you bear theirs. And all of this happening with the power and the presence of Jesus himself. He has loved us so that we can love freely. He has forgiven and washed us so that we can speak without shame. He has given us wisdom and power from his Spirit so that we can help each other with words of kindness and truth, with relevant mercies into wherever we find other people in trouble. He has healed us so that we can enter into one another's pain. We've been in Ephesians 3 and 4 for the last few weeks, and we're in for this week and for next week as well. And again, if you don't have it open, why don't you turn with me to page 1175, Ephesians 4, and we'll see this vision of a church together. I mean, it's a really, again, it's a very, very high view. A church, it says, verse 13, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 16, a church which is joined and held together by every supporting ligament as it grows and builds itself up in love. So the promise that God has for church, the promise from Ephesians, is that church, a community just like this, can be nothing less than a place where people meet the Lord Jesus in his fullness. Now, last week I promised we'd have our feet on the ground a bit more. We'd talk a bit more about what this looks like. And today we're going to be looking particularly at those, what I would call, gifts of community. The New Testament a few times has lists of spiritual gifts, different ways that God equips individuals within the church for particular things. Those lists, we find them in Romans 12, we find them in 1 Corinthians 12. They're never, I think, complete. They're never meant, perhaps, to be systematic. But we see things in those lists like prophesying, serving, miraculous powers, administration, teaching, encouraging, speaking in mysterious languages, giving, leading. So there's definitely a way in which each person here has got particular things which they and only they can bring to this community. But we're not going to focus on those specifically this morning, because while the New Testament does say that gifts and particular giftings are important, I think the Bible makes it very clear that the kind of person we are is far more important than the specific roles and jobs that we do. And today I want to look at three particular gifts, three particular character traits, three particular habits that God gives each of us and wants to see grow for each of us. And we're going to look at the Bible passage as we do that. And the first of those you'll find in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4, as Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So if we're looking at those three things that are going to help build up community, gifts that we're given as Christians to do this, the first of those is humility. Humility is the way that we open the door to this kind of grace, that kind of vision of a community. Humility that comes from knowing that you are a forgiven sinner, from knowing that you're a pardoned rebel. Humility that simply acknowledges the fact that each of us have sins, each of us have limitations and weaknesses. Humility isn't thinking badly about yourself. Now, humility is not the same as destroying yourself, thinking of yourself as being useless. Humility is actually just not thinking about yourself. But it also comes from recognizing that we need Jesus and we need each other. Humility leads us to pray for one another because we know that by our own efforts we can't meaningfully help anybody in a way that really is the life of Christ. We cannot do that by ourselves. We need him to do that. But we also need humility to be helped as well. We naturally prefer, I think our default is to be master of our fate, captain of our soul. I don't enjoy asking for help. I don't particularly enjoy it. If someone says to me, would you like help with this? I can see you need some help. But actually, that's the part of me which is not humble, isn't it? Because actually, a more humble person will say, yes, please, actually, I need that support. So to ask for help, to be asked for help, to ask for prayer, all these things take humility. It takes humility as well to recognize that your own weaknesses, your own struggles, your own bruises are precisely the place out of which you can most help others. In 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says the most radical, incredible thing. He says, praise to the God of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It's quite an incredible thing, isn't he? Paul's saying there, because God has comforted me in my trouble, that's the thing that means I can help you in yours. So there's no other shortcut to this. I know myself as a sinner, as a weak person who needs the grace and mercy of God every day. And it is precisely that engine that enables me to help anybody else. You know, I'm very conscious of the fact that I, like all of us, spend large chunks of my time operating out of my own gifts and capabilities. But that's where I think humility comes in. Really important for us, humility, as we're thinking about building towards this kind of picture of what church could be, humility. It's exactly through God meeting you in your own weakness that you have any capacity to help somebody else in there. So that's the first thing we see, the first gift of community that God gives Christians, humility. The second, love moves us towards others. So we just call that love, humility and love. the way that we can comfort one another, I think perhaps one of the ways that it's really helpful to think of us being different from as Christians is the way that a counsellor or an osteopath or most doctors might do things. Because if you want to see a counsellor or an osteopath, you have to make an appointment, don't you? So what happens if in those relationships is you go to them. Say, I've got a problem, you ring them up, and they operate a bit like hermits, I guess. They're there, sealed away from everybody else, and you come to them if you want help. And actually, we find Christian love doesn't work like that. Christian love moves towards other people. Christian love inquires. Christian love takes an interest. I just want to give you a picture example of that. I think most of us, if you had a friend or someone you knew reasonably well who came to you really upset and said, I need to talk to you, I want to pray with you, I want you to help me, I think pretty much all of us would respond as kindly as we possibly could in that moment, wouldn't we? If there's a presenting thing, someone's upset and they want us to help them, of course, you know, we're going to try as best as we're able to offer them something. But what about the person who perhaps comes to a church service or a meeting like this, who you don't know that well, who is crushed on the inside by something, is really struggling and they long to share and talk with someone else? So who's the person who's going to ask, how are you? And wait for long enough to hear an answer. And actually to be able to give them a space. And again, we find this comes from the gospel. You know, the image of love that we have is that of God. He comes towards us. And I know this goes against some of our sensibilities, particularly if you're naturally more of an introverted person, you're a bit more withdrawn, you kind of like your own company, you find it, then it's quite a challenge, isn't it? But if Jesus is in your heart, he'll also be in your ears and your throat as well. So love doesn't just say, I'm here if you need me. It takes the initiative. So that's the first thing we see is humility. The second we see is love that moves towards. And the third thing, crucial, is we can have a confidence in God's word. That's a gift as well. In 1 Peter 4, he writes, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. And again, that thought of that, isn't it? If you are helping a friend of yours, a Christian friend in church, someone who's part of your home group, or just a friend, and you are encouraging them, what a mantle to say, actually, I have been tasked here to speak to this person as one who is speaking the very words of God. And what we find in God's word, in the Bible, is the perfect place and the perfect way to meet people, to meet one another in our needs. I just want to give you an example, really, of Jesus, which I think the Bible shows as well. I'm sure all of us know somebody, or at least some people, who are very, very good at telling the truth in a blunt and honest way. You know, to use the kind of old-fashioned expression, someone who calls a spade, you said, I know that's got some slightly darker connotations, that phrase, but that kind of thing, you know, someone who can just say, this is how it is. And those sorts of people can be really useful, and we need them, but can also sometimes be quite difficult and a bit hurtful even. And then we also know people who are entirely sensitive, gentle, loving, compassionate, but perhaps not so great at calling you up where you've got a bad habit, or calling you up where there's something you're doing which is a bit out of kilter or a bit wrong or sinful. In life, I think we tend to veer towards one of these. We're kind of on a continuum, aren't we? Some of us are more natural truth tellers. Some of us are a bit more natural, kind of gentle, compassionate, but not really wanting to kind of really confront things as they are. And what we find in Jesus, he's the only person who's ever managed this, who just does both of those at full volume in a way which is totally blended and totally complementary and totally perfect. You know, we find this in Jesus, and surprise, surprise, we find this in his word as well, the Bible. If you're talking about this phrase that Paul gives us, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It is the Bible which teaches us how to do that. With God's word, we can bring real encouragement to one another. You know, the biblical word for encouragement is parakaleo, the same word that the Gospel of John uses to describe the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside someone else and brings relevant mercies. It's who God is and how God has revealed himself to us could not be more relevant to the problems that you're facing today, and could not be more relevant to the problems that the people you love and care for are facing today. In God's word, there are different ways that God reveals himself to us in different situations. It's always personal. But let's think of just an example. If someone you know is struggling, someone who's feeling totally overwhelmed by the situations of their life. Now we can turn to Isaiah 43, couldn't we? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Again, it could just be something as simple. If you're talking to another person who also trusts the Lord and wants to read the Bible, if they're struggling, say, should we look at Isaiah 43 together? Should we look at this passage? Or how about someone who's struggling with the weight of their sin? You know, you have a conversation with someone who's really just feeling guilty and ashamed. You can turn to Isaiah 44. I have swept away your offences like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Through God's word, to love it and treasure it to the extent that you're actually able to help other people to see it as well, is a wonderful thing. So we see these three ways that God gifts each Christian to build up community together. We have humility, to be a recipient of God's kindness and mercy. A love which moves towards other people. And a confidence in God's word. I hope you found this even slightly as convicting and stirring as I did as I was preparing this, thinking through these things. And I wanted to just suggest to you today a way in which you could respond as you are. I hope as you came in on your pews, you might have found a piece of paper. So on the pews, I put them out in each space. There's one or two per pew. I did get the hand gel on as I put these out. And these are really simply, on one side of them, you have the standard questions for study and reflection that we provide each week for people to take home and have a think about. So if you're a part of one of the church home groups, you might be doing that together in your group already. But even if you're by yourself, perhaps with a friend, then do have a look at those questions for study and reflection. And then on the other side, we have more ways that you can respond. And this is basically for you today. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know what, I really do desire a greater community. I really do desire to move towards other people and to be a closer image of this kind of interconnected group of people in whom Jesus is present. And I know that is true of this church. It is true of us already, but if you've got it, you want more of it. I think that's the thing I'd say about that. And there's just a few different suggestions here on this piece of paper. So one of them is joining in. You see this on the back, on the other side of that piece of paper, ways you could join in. There's daily prayer on Zoom, to join a community of people who pray for each other and pray together every day. You don't need to come morning and evening every day, but it's a chance to join in there. Another one, join a home group. Home groups meet on weekday evenings, and one or two of the home groups are beginning to meet in person as well as on Zoom at the moment. So again, if you're not in a home group and you think, actually, I'd really like that, maybe this is the day where you decide, actually, I'm going to join in with that. And then likewise, and something which we were going to start sooner, but COVID has curtailed a bit, It's the idea of having a regular weekday afternoon meeting, gathering here. So on a weekday afternoon, we have coffee and cake and just a talk about some of those things in a very relaxed and easy way. And then finally at the bottom, I'll send you an invite by email as well for everybody, but to just have a more general conversation as a church about how we can increase and build these kind of community relationships. So the hope is for this morning that, for each one of us, as we look at this call to be people of humility, as people who move towards one another in love, and people who have a confidence in God's word, then for each of us, my hope and prayer is that we're kind of listening to this and thinking, yes, I want that. I really want that life. And if you've got it a little bit, you'll want it lots. And so let's ask God for that now. So please do, again, respond to me afterwards. Respond to me anyway at all for any of those things. But let me pray for us now.